You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 16th, 2022, an emotional appeal today by Ukrainian President Zelensky addressing a joint session of Congress, urging members of Congress and President Biden to step up and help his nation. He directly challenged President Biden, saying, "You are the leader of the free world. We need your help." He's asking specifically for a no-fly zone that has been rejected over and over. But according to Senator Graham, there's now bipartisan support building that, or maybe we will do that. And keep in mind, there'd been a plan that Poland would send MiGs into Ukraine and let them create their own fly zone, no-fly zone. We would not be directly involved, but we would supply fighter jets to Poland to back up their forces. And Biden blinked when Putin said, if you do that, we'll consider you're involved and it's an escalation. It's not clear if it's going to change. Now, Biden did apparently not even see the Zelensky speech. Supposedly working on something really, really important. It might have been this. I don't know what he was doing, not trying to make fun of it. I don't know, but I would have thought he certainly could have taken the 8 to 10 minutes Zelensky was addressing joint legislature of Congress and watch it. What he did end up saying is that we're adding another 800 million military aid we're sending to Ukraine. That includes 800 Stinger aircraft missiles, 2,000 Javelin, and various pieces, including 20 million rounds of armor. But lawmakers are issuing warnings against anything that might escalate. Among them, Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, Democrat of Missouri. He said any escalation could turn into World War III, but it's hard not to be moved by Zelensky's words. Senator Roy Blunt saying, anytime you put American pilots and American planes in the sky with Russian pilots and planes, you're taking a chance we might engage at a level I don't think we're prepared to do. So many, even though there's talk of bipartisan support of creating a no-fly zone, other lawmakers are not so sure, on both sides, by the way. And that really does not mean it has to be American fighters and American pilots. But since Putin said, no, you put anything into the hands that end up in Ukraine, we will consider that you are now involved in the war as well, and you will be our enemy. There may still be a way to get around it, but the bottom line it comes down to, and I mentioned in the last segment, and I've stated it daily almost, why the hell we did not put the planes in Ukraine prior to Feb 24 when Russia decided to cross the border. We'd done it then. We're out of there. The planes are there. Ukrainians can take care of them, and they'll do what they need to. By the way, speaking of what's happening and people that are missing, a third Ukrainian mayor has apparently been kidnapped. They're not heard from after they're kidnapped. We don't know what happens to them. I do want to update a story about a Russian model who called Putin a psychopath, went missing after her anti-Putin social media rant. She's been found dead, stuffed in a suitcase. But apparently had nothing to do with Putin directly. Her boyfriend apparently strangled her and try to get rid of the body. The Federal Reserve says it will raise interest rates for the first time in 3 years. Going to raise their rates by 25 basis points. What's that mean for you? An increase in interest rates, higher borrowing costs. Consumers and businesses can expect to pay more for car loans, mortgages, credit balances. Additional costs could be coming. Gas prices, yes, they could also continue. And the documentation of something which we already suspected from Germany, they said the reading ability of fourth graders dramatically dropped. Has dramatically dropped because of they were masked up for the pandemic.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. John Beal Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. New roof.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The prospect of nuclear conflict, once unthinkable, is now back within the realm of possibility. The security and safety of nuclear facilities must also be preserved. It's time to stop the horror unleashed on the people of Ukraine and get on the path of diplomacy and peace.
Those are pretty stark words delivered by the UN Secretary General. The prospect of nuclear war is more possible. And then, of course, the disaster that could come by normal tactical fighting, destroying or damaging a nuclear facility, could also lead to a disaster. He said, we need more diplomacy and peace. Well, sure. But words don't stop bullets. The deterrence that Biden finally began to put in after Russia invaded, and then doing it step by step, and later the Biden administration admitting, well, we didn't expect the deterrence to stop the shooting. Well, then why the hell we... Never mind. Today, through video, Ukrainian leader Zelensky addressing a joint session of Congress and directing remarks to President Biden.
The leader of the world means to be the leader of peace. Peace in your country doesn't depend anymore only on you and your people. It depends on those next to you, on those who are strong. Strong doesn't mean weak. Strong is brave and ready to fight for the life of his citizens and citizens of the world, for human rights, for freedom, for the right to live decently and to die when your time comes, and not when it's wanted by someone else, by your neighbor.
By your neighbor, in this case, Russia. Accompanying that speech, Zelensky played about a two-minute video highlighting devastating effects on his country, various attacks by Russians. And, of course, he continued to urge U.S. lawmakers to implement a no-fly zone over Ukraine. If you implement a no-fly zone, you've got to enforce it. And how are you going to enforce it? If you put American planes over Ukraine, Biden's already been told by Putin, and I think we have to accept Bimba's word at this, that would be considered a major escalation. But then there was a deal that would not involve our pilots nor our planes. Poland was going to give MiG jets to Ukraine. Sure, they're older, but a lot of Ukrainian pilots have been training in them. And then we would supplant the vacancy of Polish jets with new American jets. But even then, Putin warned that would be an escalation. So Biden blinked and backed off. Meanwhile, the killing continues. The U.S. Embassy in Kyiv says Russian forces shot and killed 10 people standing in line for bread. Russian forces shot and killed 10 just standing in line for bread. We don't know the ages. We don't even know really if they were Russian troops, because Russia has brought in Chechen fighters. They brought in other missionary fighters, I should say, to carry out some of the killings, because their troops are not making the advances they wanted to make. It might be because some of the Russian troops, mostly conscripts, I don't want any part of this, and I don't want to be killing civilians. But the fight is already underway. And Zelensky made it clear what's at stake.
Today, the Ukrainian people are defending not only Ukraine. We are fighting for the values of Europe and the world, sacrificing our lives in the name of the future. That's why today the American people are helping not just Ukraine, but Europe and the world to keep the planet alive, to keep justice in history.
Zelensky says we are fighting for democracy. Biden, again, not referring to any direct remarks by Zelensky, did later announce that, well, we're going to send an additional $800 million in security assistance that would include anti-aircraft systems, anti-armor systems, more munitions. He did add, and this is his statement, this could be a long and difficult battle, but the American people will be steadfast in our support for the people in Ukraine in the face of Putin's immoral, unethical attacks on civilian populations. So says Biden. Compare those remarks to Zelensky and the reality he now faces. Former CIA station chief Dan Hoffman says if you're looking for leaders and a leadership, look to Zelensky.
That's such an extraordinarily powerful speech from President Zelensky. Ukraine is under siege right now. Russia's raining down hell on Ukrainian civilians. And let's not forget that Russian mercenaries are trying to kill President Zelensky. There's been reportedly at least 3 attempts on his life. I'm sure there have been quite a number more that Ukraine has been able to prevent. President Zelensky made it abundantly clear to all of us. He's on the front lines with his countrymen and women defending our values, freedom, democracy, and liberty. And the question for the United States is whether we're going to stand with Ukraine to defend those values. The United States has really tilted towards Russia since going back to the Obama administration's reset policy. Are we all in right now?
Good question. Are we all in? Are we just sitting over here voicing and playing like we're taking part? The International Court of Justice today said, quote, the Russian Federation shall immediately suspend the military operations it commenced February 24, 2022 in the territory of Ukraine. Blah, 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 blah. More talk. More talk. Now, do you think the International Court of Justice and its statement has any meaning and impact on Putin? Probably less than a fly landing on his face. 2 weeks ago, Ukraine had asked the International Court of Justice to intervene at that point, arguing that Russia violated a 1948 treaty by falsely claiming and accusing Ukraine of committing genocide and citing that as a reason for the incursion, the invasion. Countries who refuse to abide by court orders can be referred to the UN Security Council. Guess who holds veto power in UN? Russia. So many are skeptical that Russia is going to comply with the order and even give it a second thought. Yet President Zelensky says, well, I'm going to consider some victory out of it. He wrote on Twitter, Ukraine gained a complete victory in his case against Russia on the International Court of Justice. The International Court immediately ordered Russia to stop the invasion. The order is binding under international law. Russia must comply immediately, he said. Ignoring the law will isolate Russia even further. It might, and it might not. A lot of these things are said and meant at the time, and then you get farther down the road, and it's like a list of charges against a criminal suspect. You get so down the road and into so many different charges, you begin to let some of the lesser ones drop off, maybe even sometimes let a plea bargain go down on one of the major charges, and okay, it's done, we're finished. Justice was served when no justice was not served. The video shown today by Zelensky to members of our Congress, this montage showing a dramatic turn in Ukraine, previously showing when the weather was nicer, a man on a stroll at a city park, clips of children in parks, feeding the birds, people sitting and enjoying cups of coffee, then interspersed with more clips of bombing, destruction, images of happy children contrasted against crying babies, dead babies, destroyed babies. The message on the screen as some of the pictures went through, showing the shelling of a maternity hospital, a man crying over the body of a loved one covering a blood-soaked sheet, mass graves, soldiers attending to dead bodies. They don't know who they are. They can't identify them. And unfortunately, they're dropped into a mass grave. The story, and I told you yesterday, and I'll repeat it again for you, of the young woman who was pregnant and got hit by one of the shellings and got her on a stretcher trying to get her and her unborn baby to a hospital. She's crying out, just kill me now, kill me now. She knew she was mortally wounded. They get her to the hospital. They do a C-section. They remove the child. It's stillborn, but they do their best trying to bring it to life. They can't. They're trying to keep mom alive. They can't. A message on the screen today as our legislators were watching it. Three words. This is murder. Senator Lindsey Graham being outspoken about urging members of Moscow, Russian leaders and so forth, maybe you need to step in. Maybe you need to take direct action. In other words, suggesting you need to assassinate Putin. And so many got so appalled at that idea. Oh, my God. And I will even admit Senator Ted Cruz, which disappointed me. Senator Cruz, you disappointed me when you said we shouldn't be talking like that. And I say, why the hell not? Do you not want to kill a man before he kills more? Did this nation not drop one but two nuclear weapons, supposedly to save other lives, American lives? Did we not hopefully secretly believe and pray maybe that the inner circle of Hitler would kill him? They tried, failing. And when it comes to giving Ukraine support for air support with the MiGs, Senator Graham makes, he really mentions no words when it comes to Biden.
He's AWOL. He agreed on March 6th, the Secretary of State said, that we would green light a transfer of MiGs, Polish MiGs, into Ukraine. We were okay with that. A few days later, when Poland asked us to be part of the transfer, we pulled it like a cheap suit.
A cheap suit. Coming up later in this hour, I'm going to be joined by Randy Mayfield, retired pastor of Central Presbyterian Church in Clayton, was in charge of foreign missions. He's made numerous trips to Ukraine and Russia in the past. You'll hear some of the latest reports he's getting from Ukrainians who escape, those who remain fighting, and messages from those who've been killed, sent by relatives. We'll begin with Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg with his evaluation of Ukraine and Russia at this point.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You know, right now, what's absolutely stunning to everybody is that Ukraine is fighting Russia to a standstill. They are. I mean, Russia is not winning this war. They have not been able to penetrate Kyiv. They've had over 7,000 or 8,000 casualties, according to several reports. They only lost 15,000 in Afghanistan. And if they're approaching Afghanistan numbers, then they've got a huge problem in front of them. And Zelensky, to his credit, he is a wartime leader. He is worth divisions of soldiers because the people of Ukraine are rallying around him, and they will fight to the end. And we ought to be on their side in every way possible. If they want a BB gun, give them a BB gun. If they want a rock, give them a rock. If they want air defense, give them an air defense.
The words of Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, Center for American Security. Lieutenant General Kellogg retired. But his words echo, don't they? They're asking for help. Give them what they need. The question of the no-fly zone. When Biden originally stated it's off the table, when you tell your enemy we're not going to do anything about that, you give them an advantage. I'm not for boots on the ground. That's also an advantage. But what's happening right now, especially after Zelensky's plea to members of Congress today in the video montage he presented, recalculating. Bipartisan members of Congress are now speaking about we got to do something to help with the no-fly zone. It may not be in the way that we were originally going to do it by giving jets to Poland, and then Poland in turn would give its older jets to Ukraine. But we need to do something. But you also have to keep in mind, let's be realistic, there are not a lot of Russian planes that have been directly involved in the fighting, except by long range, some firing missiles from Russian territory. We're not going to invade Russia. And if you mean by a fly zone, you're going to try to shoot down a missile in the sky. Or if we have an American pilot in plane and it's shot down out of the sky. But if they had more aircraft and a no-fly zone. Ukraine's looking at the fact that it'd be easier for us to target a lot of their military equipment stuck on the ground here and there. There's a value to that. Now, here's something else to keep in mind. I mentioned this the other day, just a moment ago, and I'm not going to drive this point home, but it does have a message we should keep in mind. There are Republicans who say that Biden opened the door because he basically invited Putin because he created the perfect storm. Green groups were pushing Biden to do anything you can to shut down any oil and gas production, which we did in this nation. Then we were having to import from Russia, and now he shut that down. So the green pie in the sky people, happy, happy. Progressive groups like the Sunrise Movement looking at a current crisis as an opportunity to move closer to ending our reliance on fossil fuels. Republicans say that's what started the crisis in the first place. So let's take note of this fact. Germany, in its effort years ago, decided we're going to go green. You know what they did? They got rid of their coal plants. They did get rid of their coal plants. They got rid of them. They were trying to build more nuclear power stations and, of course, relying on fuel from elsewhere. But they weren't going to do it, and they weren't going to use their fossil fuel, but they would buy it from somewhere else. You know what they're now doing? They are now looking at reopening those coal plants so they don't have to rely on Russia. See what green pie in the sky sometimes can get you? Coming up, more of the tragedies direct from Ukraine, as shared by Randy Mayfield, retired pastor with Central Presbyterian Church, in charge of foreign missions with numerous trips to Ukraine and Russia. You don't want to miss this interview. Let your friends and neighbors know it's coming up if they're not already listening. Stand by, please.
At LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest, I always want to be transparent with you. I know him personally as a friend. Also, he had been my pastor for many years, one of the pastors at Central Presbyterian Church in Clayton. Active in our mission program and carrying the Word of God and money and needs to people in addition to sharing the gospel. Randy Mayfield, glad to have you on board, sir.
Thank you, Larry. You did say your favorite pastor, right?
That might have been edited out. Not my fault.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
My favorite. How about my favorite singing pastor?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. There you go. That limits it quite
a
bit.
That yeah, that does. Let me begin with you sent me a very detailed and heart-wrenching letter with pictures yesterday. I'm going to go through it piece by piece, so if you'll let me kind of lead the way. But before I do, give us a quick background of how often you've been in Ukraine, and you were also in Russia, and when?
Yeah, I've been traveling to Ukraine and to Russia since 1991, so 30-plus years. We used to always go through Russia on our way to Ukraine. It's the easiest way. We'd go into Moscow and then take a train. And so we did have some friends in Russia, still do. We haven't been going back to Russia for the past 10 years or so because of just a lot of issues. We couldn't be as open with our our work that we were doing. They kind of cut us off. We used to be able to go to schools and hospitals. So we focused on Ukraine. We have a sister church we adopted there in 1992, taken hundreds of people from Central and from the St. Louis area, other friends that have gone down to do youth camps, and we've done concerts. I've done a lot of concerts. I don't know if it's on my website, but I did a concert a couple of years ago at Thanksgiving there. They call it their Thanksgiving. They don't have it like we do. 110,000 people were there. It was amazing.
110,000, yeah.
They shut off that big main street that you see on TV now in Kyiv. It's called Kreshchatyk, and they shut that whole street down. And it wasn't just me. There was entertainers and a full orchestra, and then I sang with them. It was amazing.
I want to ask you briefly. You said you weren't going back to Russia, partly because they had changed some of their reference to Christianity. Now, the most widespread religion, I thought, was Russian Orthodox Christianity.
Correct.
But that
Correct.
Differs than what they're allowing, and basically you were going to be persecuted if you continued, and you were limited in when and how you could speak. Is that right?
That is correct. Putin is, I guess, he considers himself an Orthodox member of the Orthodox Church there. I would say it's their religion. I'm not sure it's the same as we. They certainly didn't want evangelical Christians there sharing the gospel of Jesus. So that's where we kind of got cut off from all the avenues that, you know, several years ago, for some reason, there was an open door for a while. But Ukraine was still very open, of course, until recently. I was there in December when all these things started, this past December, when some of this stuff started fomenting and the ideas were there. And my friends were very worried because they said, yeah, he's made threats before, but this sounds serious. And obviously, they were correct.
Well, when you looked at the troops that were amassing north of Ukraine at that time, and his excuse was, we're just preparing for military games, what was their reaction?
They knew better. They knew better.
Yeah, of course
they knew.
Who wouldn't know better? Apparently we didn't. Our NATO and others said, in other words, what I was getting at, we did not send in planes, which they want a no-fly zone now. We should have sent those planes, everything into Ukraine during that period of time before Feb 24. You agree?
I definitely agree. And I think of December 7th, 1945, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
We had plenty of warning then, too. We didn't do anything. I just don't. I guess I'm a little more passionate about it because I have hundreds of friends over there.
Let's begin with some of those friends. I mean,
you
mentioned one of them, video of a child you said you knew in the youth camps.
Yes.
Her story.
Yeah, Eric and his wife, Alina. Now, they were kids in the camp, of course. They got married. I know their families very well, know them. She was getting ready to have a baby when this started. She was in the in a basement of a home. And thankfully, she got out of the basement to a little hospital. And you know the problem with hospitals there, they're bombing those. But she got into a hospital, had her baby, Mark, 10 days ago by C-section. He went into ICU, but he's doing okay. But here they are living still under, missiles and bombs coming down and in a basement, and they have a new little baby. And that's just one story of, I know many like that.
Well, you've got many friends in some of the towns that have already been heavily bombed. Irpin being one of them, and what kind of stories are you hearing from them? What were you doing in Irpin, by the way?
Well, in Irpin is where most of my friends live.
My mispronunciation, I apologize.
Oh, that people call it Irpin. Irpin, yeah. It's like Kiev and Kyiv.
Right.
But anyway, so I've taught there for many years. That's where we have a seminary that we helped get going, and where my really good friend, our missionary, is the president of that seminary. And so I go to Irpin, regularly, almost every year, to teach, to do concerts with her. We travel around the country. We were in Mariupol 2 years ago. Mariupol's history now.
Sure.
We were in Donetsk, and that's kind of on the eastern border where a lot of this stuff's been going on for years. And so I travel with them. So that's why I know a lot of people there. It's a suburb of Kyiv, about 30 minutes outside of town.
And you have most of these folks that you're getting stories from right now that I know you had pictures sent to you by a family getting in a van and trying to just get out of the area, get somewhere safe for a while anyway.
Yeah, they went to another town. I know where they are, but it's being messed with now too. So I don't know. I'm hoping. I know Grandma's 87, and I don't know that she's up to, getting out of the country and taking a long ride and going through the lines. But
how are they getting these stories and pictures out to you?
They're sending it to me through Messenger, Facebook Messenger. And then we've also actually we've had some phone conversations. I had one of my friends, the family, I gave you a picture. They got out to, I think, eventually Romania and then the Netherlands. I sent them some funds to get out, and he called me and didn't speak any English, and I don't understand a lot of Russian, but I said, hey, drop me a note and I'll translate it on Messenger. That's the nice thing. You can translate stuff. So.
And I know if that's the one I'm looking at, he was thanking you for sending the money. That's he said, I can't contain my emotions. I'm crying. Your help, the help of your friends and prayers, that the same?
No, that's another guy. That's Slavic. And he just sent me some more pictures today. He's a chef. And he's working out of the kitchen, I believe, at the seminary, cooking hundreds of meals a day. He's by himself. And we sent him some funds. He got them. We have a weird way of getting it there, but we got it to him. And he's buying all this food that he can find and cooking for not only the soldiers there, but for a lot of the civilians and his family. Hundreds of meals a day by himself, his little kids. He sent me pictures of his girls, wherever they are, sleeping in a basement on their blankets. And his heart is heavy. He misses his family. He's working practically 24/7. And this is a story of the few people I know. Just, you know, times how many people are out there struggling. Yeah. It's just crazy.
Now, in a Slavic, there's one picture of him titled Ready for Action. It looks like he's got, he's got a coat and hat on. He's got a Glock in his right hand. In other words, he's ready to use it if he has to. But he's in the meantime, he's just trying to care for other people.
Exactly. I mean, he certainly is a gentle soul. He's a wonderful guy. I've known him for years. Matter of fact, you notice he's a big guy, and as am I. And whenever I go to Ukraine, he would say, "Can you leave your clothes?" And I would. I'd leave my clothes for him.
Well, I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at some of the pictures that there's a train station in Ukraine. People trying to get on that train, go to Poland. The people, they've got to be 60 deep and running for, several hundred yards. They don't even know if they're going to get on the train, but they're standing there waiting for the next opportunity.
Exactly. My friends, two of my friends went to Poland the same way. They got in those big queues. They ended up on two different trains, husband and wife. They ended up on two different trains, and for that three, four, five-hour train ride, just inside the train looks like outside the train, just packed with people. They just want to get out.
I know we have done it before, and I'll make sure we post it also on this program. You know a guy in Chicago that has been organizing relief money, and you know it's not a scam. You can testify.
Oh, absolutely.
You testify on behalf of him that the money and our whatever the folks are sending will get to those who need it. I am worried about there are people out there, as there always are, predators that prey upon well-intended meanings of food and money and so forth. But this one you can highly recommend.
No, absolutely. And you're right. There are scams out there. I've gotten stuff in emails and stuff. And, some of them might be legit, but I've heard of even legitimate organizations dropping stuff off at an airport and it sits there, like what happened in Haiti.
Yeah.
And so these guys, I've known this guy, again, for 30 years. He was the brother of our pastor out there. He moved to Chicago with his family. He's got Mission Eurasia is the name of the group.
All right.
And he has given me reports. He is in Poland, and he's been reporting to me. They have helped thousands and thousands of people with food packets.
All right. We will put that up again. Randy Mayfield, thank you very much for your time and sharing those stories.
Thanks so much, Larry.
You bet.
Take care.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
MissionEurasia.org. We will post it with this podcast coming up today.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottner Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottner, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to Rottner.com, Rottner Pest Solutions.
1, 2, 3, they're going to run back to me. They always want to come, but they never want to leave. We'll be right back.
is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now I'm almost 45 years old. Today my age stopped when the heart of more than 100 children stopped beating. I see no sense in life if it cannot stop the death. And this is my main mission as the leader of my people, great Ukrainians. And as the leader of my nation, I am addressing the President Biden. You are the leader of the nation, of your great nation. I wish you to be the leader of the world. Being the leader of the world means to be the leader of peace.
That is part of the presentation today that Ukrainian President Zelensky delivered via video to a joint session of Congress. President Biden was not in the audience and supposedly was not even bothering to watch at the time. He might have actually been busy with something serious because they were working on another financial package, something like $800 million and more supplies. So I'm not trying to pass judgment. I'm just saying with the facts we've been given so far. But Zelensky's point raises a couple of issues. As with Trump, when Trump would say that I'm the leader of America, people would chastise him saying, you're a nationalist. You don't care about other countries? No, that's not the point. I'm elected to lead Americans and do what's best for Americans. Biden is the same. But with each man, Trump or Biden, if you're president of this nation, you're also president and the leader of the free world, or at least you're in a position to be so. And Ukraine says we are fighting for our freedom. And we want the free world to help us. If our nation, that God has blessed us so many times over, this is what was in the Bible for the Old Testament for the Jews. This is the modern land of milk and honey. We've been blessed over and over. So, yes, we have a responsibility to help others. We have to draw a line sometimes. We cannot be a policeman for everybody and every cause. But there are times of an instance like this, especially when it involves a superpower that is destroying indiscriminately buildings that include homes and hospitals and nursing facilities, indiscriminately killing children, slaughtering people just standing in line for bread. If you don't speak up and you don't say or do something, you're failing. The no-fly zone, there may still be a way to accomplish it, that Putin might still threaten that that's an escalation. Well, we'll deal with that. I don't want to see us put boots on the ground. I do not want this moving into World War III, obviously. I like to think he doesn't either. Those who know him, have been around him in the past, say he's changed. Now, again, I don't know if they mean he's changed in the sense that he's kind of become like Biden. He's sometimes forgetful or just lost, although in his case, maybe more belligerent. I don't know. I'm not assessing his mental capacity or ability. I'm just simply saying he is the leader of Russia until it changes. And maybe that's the prayer, that if he won't stop it, and if you know your Bible, there are numerous times God raises up men to punish others. Babylon was raised up by God to destroy Israel. It all fits his ultimate plan, which we have a hard time understanding. And certainly watching children being blown apart and slaughtered, I cannot fathom an understanding except the fact that God gave man a will and a choice, and then the consequences that come with it. We will be posting on this podcast missioneurasia.org as to how you can get money and or help that's been vouched for by Randy Mayfield, former pastor at Central Presbyterian Church in Clayton, where you can send money and or help, and it will get to Poland and then maybe into Ukraine. But it will help those coming out of Ukraine. They're going to be in a massive need. I leave it in your hands and in your prayers. I will not be here tomorrow nor Friday. Tomorrow, Sarah Moore will be co-hosting for me. Glad to have her on board. She certainly represents the same views and does an excellent job presenting them. So please welcome Sarah Moore to the program tomorrow. Friday, we will run a best of. And again, thank you. Thank you for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.